Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about the structure of a Christian home. I know that I may give the impression sometimes of really dishing out a whole lot of advice and being very rigid and saying, this is the way you got to do it, this is the way we did it, this is the way my parents did it, this is the way I did it, and this is the right way, and you jolly well better shape up or ship out. Well, you know, I really don't want to come across that way. And I know that there are many different ways of doing things. But there are some principles, and there are some things which I felt helped to shape my own life, which I would hope would be of help to other people. So I hope that as I talk today about the structure of a Christian home, you will understand that I don't mean to be pontificating. I don't mean to be saying, look, you've got to do it this way. But for some who really are looking for direction and help, I hope that as an older woman, I can offer you some. I take very seriously my responsibility from Titus, the second chapter, where it says that the older women are to teach the younger. Well, you're listening to an older woman today, one who has 6 grandchildren, and this older woman would like to help some of you younger women who really do want some help. So let me say, first of all, that a Christian home should be based on love and trust and obedience. First of all, the love of the parents. As George MacDonald said, the very best thing that a father can do for his children is to love their mother. And the very best thing that a mother can do for her children is to love their father. The love between the husband and wife should be evident to the children. And it was in the home in which I grew up, and I'm so grateful for that. Then there has to be trust. There has to be the assurance that what people say, people mean. There has to be not just a high respect for the truth, but a strict respect for the truth. Lying has got to be punished, and I had my mouth washed out with soap at least once in my life because I lied. And there must be obedience. Love, trust, and obedience must be things which the children are taught very early, not in words so much as in action and in example. The children must learn that the parents love them, and there are 1,000 ways of showing that, of course. The fact that you care for them, the fact that you hug them, that you give them treats, that you do things for them, and you tell them that you love them, should be their earliest lessons in what love is all about. They must be able to trust your word. Don't make empty promises. Don't make empty threats. Perhaps this is one of the commonest mistakes that young parents make. If you do that, you're going to get a spanking. And the little child goes ahead and does it, but a spanking seems a little bit too severe, or it isn't very convenient, or the mother is tired, and somehow or other the child doesn't get the spanking, and he's not being taught that he has to trust the word. And obedience must be based on the authority of the parents, not on reasoning, but on authority. I had a young woman and a little 14-month-old baby in my home just recently. The baby touched something on the coffee table, and the mother said, "Don't touch, Susie." And Susie touched again. And mother said, "Don't touch, Susie." And she touched again. And so the mother went over and took the child's hand away and said, "Now don't touch that. That belongs to Mrs. Grin. That's very fragile. You might break that. And this is a glass coffee table. Don't touch that, honey. Thank you." And Susie touched it again. And the mother said, "Don't touch, honey. Thank you." And she kept saying, "Thank you," and "Don't touch." And she didn't get obedience. And to me, that's really a tragedy when that 14-month-old is being allowed to get away with that instead of having her little pink hand spanked. Remember that you are God to that child at the beginning. Does that sound like a startling statement? The mother and the father are really God in the sense that it is they whom the child must learn to love and trust and obey to begin with. They represent God to that child. They represent God's love, they represent His trustworthiness, and they represent the necessity to obey. The child must learn that you love him, that he can trust you, and he must obey you. And if he learns that from you, then I can testify from my own experience that it's really much easier to learn to love God, to trust Him, and to obey Him. Now that's a big order. You must start with yourself. First of all, you must love God and trust Him and obey Him. Do you love Him? Jesus said, "If you love me, do what I say." Is there a determination in your heart to learn to love Him and trust Him and obey Him? If you have to say no to that question, then that's the place where you need to start. Then you must learn to discipline yourself. It's no good trying to discipline children if you really have never made a very serious effort to discipline yourself. Remember that what you show them by example is far more powerful than anything that you can ever say. How can you tell your child to clean up his room and pick up his toys if you haven't cleaned up your room and picked up your toys, if your house is littered and messy? One young woman was telling me about her difficulties in getting underway in the morning, and she just felt as if everything was sort of chaos until about 11 o'clock. And she said, "Then at 11 o'clock, I get dressed and I make my bed and I put my makeup on." And she said, "Then I sort of feel as if I can start getting organized." Well, my suggestion to that young woman was, why don't you get yourself up at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock and get dressed and put on your makeup and maybe even make your bed before breakfast? And she looked at me as if, wow, you know, I never thought of that. I said, "Well, you know, you'll really be doing your husband a big favor if you come to breakfast dressed instead of looking like a wild witch. You'll be doing your children a great favor by setting an example of discipline. And it's just a whole lot nicer for everybody to see the mother with her clothes on and her makeup on looking as though she's in her right mind at the breakfast table." Another matter of discipline is punctuality. When you tell people that supper will be at 6 o'clock, do you really mean 6:30, 6:45, 7:15? I'm not suggesting that supper has to be on the dot of 6 o'clock every night, even though it pretty much was in the house that I came from. But I am saying that you must teach your children the importance of time. Neatness. Do they know how to put things away? Do your children get out one game after another without putting the first one away? That's one of the things that I'm always trying to persuade my grandchildren to do. Before you start on another game or another set of toys, put away the first one. Make sure that there's a place for them to put it in. Then the matter of order, the structure of a Christian home, must begin with God's order, that the husband is the head. The wife respects her husband. She teaches the children to respect him by her example. The submission of the wife to the husband must come before the submission of children to their parents. If they don't see any submission there, they won't learn it. Love, trust, and obedience to God will be manifested in the order which the mother and father establish. And a husband, although he may not feel like being the head of the house and perhaps doesn't think he is very good at it, must be obedient to God as the head. God has assigned him to that headship. The wife is obedient to God in submitting to God's assignment of her husband's headship. And both of them, as faithful parents, are being obedient to God in bringing up the children. You don't just let your children grow up like Topsy. The Scripture commands fathers to bring up their children, to teach them in the admonition of the Lord. And as the father and the mother set the example of a structured Christian home, the children themselves will know where the lines are drawn. There will be much greater security. I guarantee that there will be more happiness and more peace in that kind of a home. It will be a home where what I like to call the mystery of charity is enacted. Love in action. The rule of that home is my life for yours. This really is the meaning of love, isn't it? The love which was enacted on Calvary. Jesus was saying, my life for yours, setting an example of suffering, sacrifice, and surrender. If Jesus, our Lord, set that kind of an example for us, you and I, by submitting in obedience to him, can set the same kind of example for our children. There will be joy, there will be fulfillment, and that Christian home will be a peaceful place of refuge and refreshment. Are you willing to ask God to help you to create that kind of a home?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.